trigger warning. This podcast is intended for men, not boys, not babies, men.
This is how we disable toxic masculinity.
We need to kill all men.
This pagan patriarchalism that is coming back out of the shadows.
Feminists hate patriarchy.
It's the woman that runs the show and the woman that runs the community and is the backbone of their area.
I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman.
Patriarchy.
You are f***ing male privilege.
Are you saying you have authority over me? Go eat your superior!
I personally can't see why egalitarianism would be a bad thing.
The assumption that wives should make babies instead of money is part of the patriarchy.
Don't f*** you say hi to strange women you don't know.
Patriarchy.
The patriarchy.
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 Father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You are on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. My name is Tony DePonte, and I am joined by my co-host, Pastor Joseph Randall Spurgeon.
Woman, get back in here and make me a sandwich.
Joseph, what sandwich are you eating today?
Thank you, Tony, for asking me that question. I really appreciate that. I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Okay. Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Well, here's the thing. I need to repent of eating this sandwich.
You've done this before and it never goes well.
Well, I need to repent because according to Portland, Oregon, a principal in a school there, a peanut butter sandwich is racist.
Okay. Why?
You're not thinking about the people in Somalia or in Somalia or maybe Hispanic kids who don't eat sandwiches.
But why is the sandwich racist?
Because you're not thinking about the people who don't eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not everybody is white and eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So why would you even bring that up, Tony? Why did you bring up peanut butter and jelly sandwich here? Are you trying to say something about our listeners? Do you think you're better than everybody?
You brought up the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Now you're going to try to put this on me.
Yes.
Tony, you need to repent of your you
I
are.
Thought, but I thought you were repenting.
See, now you're trying to turn the tables on me. And
you know, tables are racist too. I mean, how dare you bring up tables? Some people don't have tables, Joseph. You need to repent of bringing up tables.
You need to repent of bringing up repenting for tables.
Well, you need to repent of bringing up. My need to repent of you. Well, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Whatever it is, Tony, you're a racist.
Right. yeah. Well, I should probably have a sandwich, huh?
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't have a sandwich. And you know why I don't have a sandwich? Because I'm being humble and I'm thinking of the people in Somalia that don't have sandwiches. So today, my sandwich is a anti-racist sandwich because I heard somewhere that it's not enough to just not be racist. You have to be anti-racist. So I'm eating an anti-racist sandwich.
But here's the problem, Tony. Because you acknowledge that you need to have an anti-racist sandwich, you're patronizing everybody, therefore revealing your racist heart. I was going to say your racist black heart, but that's not right. Your white racist heart.
But you're mansplaining to me right now. How dare you?
We're not talking about sexism. We're talking about racism.
Well, you don't know. Maybe I self-identify as a woman right now, and you're mansplaining to me because I self-identify as a black woman. So now you're racist and you're sexist. And chauvinist, and racist, and sexist. Oh, how deep the rabbit hole goes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do we want to do our next segment?
Let's do. As it. Long as it's not racist.
I can't guarantee that. Because everything we do here is racist and chauvinist and sexist, I hear.
All right.
Listen to this.
On a lighter side of things, what do you do for fun? I mean, what's your favorite place to go to in Providence?
Well, my favorite place to go to is a Catholic church. I'm a Catholic. But I want to say that I write songs for fun, and I can play a song for you really quick. And this is a song that I've written. Okay? I try to have my guitar sing, but they wouldn't let me come in. So. I'll sing it for you. Okay? To the rich man who stands in his house high upon the hill, and are you lost?
Chris, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in and serenading me this morning. I didn't realize
next
that
time
you...
our guitarist could come in. That would be great.
That would be great. I didn't realize that.
What the heck was that?
That's actually a guy that's running for office.
Oh, are you kidding me?
He was running for office and he wanted to pull out his song that he wrote.
What office?
It was probably a local office.
Oh yeah. Man. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one way to run for office. Actually, ironically, it's probably not that much different from the rest of the way that everybody else runs for office at this point. Okay. Well. Okay. Well, I don't think he got elected.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Democrats elected him. I don't know. Oh, triggered. Oh, I don't think any Democrats listen to this show.
There were a lot of dead people that voted for him.
Yes, right? Yeah.
They had to be because they could to listen to that, you'd have to be.
Were they all Florida man? They're all Florida.
Yep. Hanging chads.
Yep. That's what I was just gonna say.
Oh, well, okay, Tony. Well, let's get into actually what we're going to talk about. Which is not sandwiches or funny politicians. What are we talking about, Tony?
Honoring your father, in particular, honoring a bad father.
Can you honor a bad father? Is that even possible, or is that even expected?
Yes and yes.
Okay. You care to elaborate?
No, we're just going to end the episode right here.
Well, let me help you. You read from the Ten Commandments. It tells us to honor our father and mother. And it's pretty clear in Scripture we're to honor our parents. The book of Proverbs over and over again talks about honoring parents, talks about one verse talks about the eye that scorns a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the birds. Ouch. By the vultures.
That'll hurt.
Yeah, we had our kids memorize that verse.
That's what they were saying before they go to bed.
We put it real nice and neat on the wall. You know how people put Bible verses? That's the one.
Did you give them a stuffed raven for a present? Yes.
But Scripture is very clear. We're to honor our parents. And that's difficult. It's difficult even under the best of circumstances when you have the best parents, right? Because even the best of parents are sinners. They are but evil. You know, when Jesus talks about, what father, when their child asks for something, will give them a snake, mm-hmm. will give them a serpent. And he says, you being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more God. So he makes it very clear. People he's talking to, yeah, you're evil, even though you do these things. And so even under the best of circumstances, it's difficult to honor fathers and mothers. We are sinners ourselves. Children are. And then our family members are sinful, you know, because family's so tight and close, it is, has great potential for good. Many of the church fathers throughout history have called it a mini church, have called it the first church or the first civil government. And there's much truth to that in the family, that there's a lot of potential for good and what God designed it for. But because of that closeness and connection, there's awful a lot of potential for evil that happens. And probably many of our listeners have experienced evil by the hands of family members, whether it's just the sin that happens day to day, even from godly people, from good Christians, or running the gamut to the worst of fathers, those who are abusive or abandon their children. And we don't want to make light of that at all. That's a difficult circumstance. You know, as a pastor, I've dealt with and have worked with people who've had terrible circumstances happen in their family lives. And it makes you mourn, and it's difficult. And yet here we are with the scripture, Tony, that says, honor your father and mother, and then you're telling me, yep, and yep, we can still honor even sinful fathers. And I think you're telling the truth. I think we do honor sinful fathers, even those who are the scum of the earth fathers. Now, it's going to look different. We do not obey when we have been commanded to do evil. Most of our listeners are going to be, you know, either out of the home, getting ready to leave the home. So they're not little children, but they're still trying to find out ways to honor their fathers. And some of them have very wicked fathers or abandoned fathers, fathers they don't even know. So, Tony, could you possibly just explain to us what are some ways that you honor even a wicked father? Does that mean obeying them all the time or what?
Well, I think we touched on this in other episodes, really, in other spheres of authority or submission, right? Because we talked about the one episode we had where we talked about civil magistrates, and we talked about when to obey, when to not obey, and how to give honor, even when you're disobeying. So I think that I'm trying to think of maybe like the one an easier way. I think that not. I mean, Scripture talks about not harshly rebuking an older man. So I think that's one good way that we can honor our father, even when he's wrong, even when he's doing something wrong, is that as a younger man, or even as a boy. I mean, when we're not yet grown, we shouldn't harshly rebuke our dads. And that's a way of showing honor to the seat, I guess, for lack of better words, that he sits in as the authority in the home. But at the same time, if he's telling us to do something that's sinful, honoring him by not doing it and making a good example.
Yeah, actually, so you're right. In one sense, honoring your father is... may mean disobeying him when he commands what's wicked, what's evil. For you to go along with his wicked plans does not honor him. One of the scriptures in the Proverbs talks about how a wise son is an honor to his father, whereas a foolish son is like rottenness in the bones of his mother. Mm-hmm. And man, as we think about honoring fathers, the most wicked of fathers can be honored not by covering up abuse, not by refusing to say abuse, but by being a wise son, by honoring God, looking to Scripture, looking to your Heavenly Father, looking to the fathers in the church, even civil fathers to, if you need to, report a crime. But being wise, to honor your wise man brings honor to even crooked fathers. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to honor a crooked father. And that's where we're at in a lot of ways, Tony, is that our society has, you know, we hear often that there's about abuses and these type of things. And what ends up happening is people then begin to hate God. They begin to hate the Father above, and they begin to hate fatherhood. And in hating fatherhood, they're not honoring their father and mother. They're breaking God's law and commandments. So while they may be victims of abuse, victims of harm, they're turning that victimhood into an excuse for sin. And we don't get to do that. And I say that with all trying to say it with all tenderness and love, because I know how difficult it is for people who have had wicked fathers. Now, Tony, I think there's actually someone who may be a little wiser than probably you and I. It might be helpful in us even thinking through this that we probably ought to kind of go to now. What do you think?
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with returning guest Pastor Tim Bailey from Trinity Reformed Church, formerly Clear Note Church, and he's going to talk to us about just that. How do you honor a bad father? So don't go anywhere. You are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. We'll be right back.
Worship is not our idea of trying to please a benevolent being. Worship ultimately is something that God Himself demands of His creatures.
Join us this January as we will enjoy fellowship, spiritual growth, and the worship of God at the 2020 G3 Conference. For information and reservations, visit g3conference.com.
We're on the line with Pastor Tim Bailey. Tim has been a senior pastor of Trinity Reformed Church in Bloomington, Indiana since 1996. He's a writer for Warhorn Media and is featured on the podcasts The World We Made and the newly launched Then Comes What. Tim is the author of several books, including Daddy Tried, Church Reformed, and The Grace of Shame. He is married to his wife, Mary Lee, and together they have 5 children and 20-something grandchildren. Tim, welcome back to The Patriarchy.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
Well, Tim, we are glad to have you back. We didn't receive too much heat last time, so we thought we'd bring you in again. And what we wanted to talk to you about this time is honoring our fathers. You've written Daddy Tried, and something a lot of people have questions about is how do we honor fathers, you know, sinful fathers? The one thing you always hear in our culture is a disparaging of fathers, and it sounds like everybody has the most wicked and evil fathers on the planet. So how do we honor even evil fathers, or do we honor them? Then maybe that might be the question.
Well, let me start with a contrarian statement, which is that sometimes the way we honor evil fathers is by exposing them and opposing them. And I don't want that to get lost in this conversation. I was talking today to a pastor whose father was sexually molesting his daughter. And I think And it's very tragic that in this particular case, and you find this a lot, the mother covered it up for many, many years in a very conservative Reformed church. And the way you honor that is by not just confronting the father, but by confronting the mother. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. That wickedness, it's not submission to your husband to cover up wickedness that destroys the innocence, the virginity, and the safety of your daughter, okay? And I want to start with that because that's precisely what Jesus was talking about when he said that we have to hate our father and mother, husband, wife, son, daughter. We must honor the marriage bed. It must be kept pure. Sexuality is incredibly beautiful and, when violated, incredibly destructive. And so it's not honoring or a wicked father to cover up his sins. And I want to make that very clear, because so many men in ministry cover up the sins in their church, and we must not do that.
Yeah, I, as a pastor, I've had to deal with abuse issues with different people and counseling, and I have not felt prepared at all from the seminary training that I've had, but it's been eye-opening, a sense of seeing that more and more. And you're absolutely right. We have to, we can't cover these issues up. And speaking of those things, we even need to get the civil magistrates involved when it's a crime that's taken place. But let's say, Tim, that it's not, you know, it's not. Well, let's say that you have exposed your father, and it's the worst case scenario. Is there anything else that you would do in that scenario to honor honor your father, or live in light of that and still honor the Heavenly Father?
You know, Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "I bow my knee before God the Pater," that's the Greek word, P-A-T-E-R, "from whom all patria," P-A-T-R-I-A, alliteration, that's not the word. He says, "for cause I bow my knee before God the Father, from whom all fatherhood gets its name." A lot of translations won't translate a fatherhood, but we all know what patriarchy, patriotism, it's fatherhood. And what we have to realize is that God's fatherhood, I believe in God the Father Almighty, pray like this, Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven," that fatherhood gets its dignity and its perfections and its nature from God. And so a man who is sired a child is only a father insofar as he reflects the perfections of God the Father Almighty. Okay? And so what we have to realize is that the dignity of fatherhood, the dignity of being a husband and a father in a home, is only true dignity insofar as that man reflects the character of God, okay? And that's a very hard thing to say because, you know, we've recovered, submit to your husband as to the Lord, obey him in everything. And so many of the people in conservative churches have repented of egalitarianism and have said, "I want to live under the authority of my husband," and that's a good thing. But we have to recognize that that good thing should never be dishonest about the sin of a husband. And I know I'm coming back and repeating what I said at the beginning, but let me give you an example. We have had several women in our church who, with their peers in the church, other wives and mothers, have bragged about what a godly husband they have and how happy they are with their leadership spiritually of the husband. And then they'll go on walks with my wife and tell my wife that the last week their husband was so drunk that he was naked and crawling on all fours through the living room in front of their children.
Oh, wow.
Okay, you with me?
Yeah, yeah.
It does not honor fatherhood, let alone God the Father Almighty, for a wife to create envy in everybody through Instagram or Facebook, and then to tell my wife what's really going on in the home. That kind of thing is absolutely destructive because it creates a culture of lying and hypocrisy and dishonesty in the home. And so now, you hear me saying this and you think, "Hey, yikes, 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 Tim, get back on the reservation, you know?" Not every man is like that. We're just talking about normal failures of men. We're not, okay, fine, I hear you. Now let me go to the other side, okay? We had a couple in our church where the wife saw herself as very spiritual. And her husband was sort of an engineering dude, you know? He was objective, he was strong, he was a manly man. And she was a very spiritually integrated sort of mystical kind of spiritual woman. And she never stopped sending her husband the message that he wasn't maybe really a Christian. And if he was a Christian, he was defective because he wasn't like Pastor Bailey. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And any pastor who feels proud that she judges him that way is a fool. He needs to defend the manhood of the man. Men aren't expressive. Men don't talk the way pastors talk. Men don't emote the way pastors. Men aren't sensitive the way pastors are. And so every pastor can look at the women of the church and be sensitive to them and talk to them and emote and can take cheap shots at their husband, not directly. You wouldn't be so gauche to do it directly. And so we have to recognize that there are men who need to be exposed, who need to be opposed, who need to turn themselves into the police, who need the elders of the church to say to the wife, for instance, when you work with men that are constantly looking at strange naked flesh on their computers, there will come a time if they don't repent where they will say, I'm tired of dealing with the elders about this. Let's go to another church. And there are times where the pastors and elders need to say to the wife, no, don't leave the church. If he leaves, let him leave. But that's because he's hardened his heart, and you must not declare your solidarity with him. Now, you know, I've kind of jumped back and forth to the two extremes, and now I'm going to trust the two of you to tell me where to come home, okay? Can you make sense of this?
Yeah, so you've gone back. There's the extreme of the wicked you have to expose. Then there's the man who is a sinner. And yet in both of these cases, people get sinned against and harmed against. And then the idea is, you know, there is no perfect father. There's no if the standard is they have to mirror the Heavenly Father, are we ever going to honor our fathers?
No. And so in the middle, that's helpful to me. In the middle, let me tell you how I deal with my sin as a pastor, okay? Mm-hmm. Every time I preach, I'm very, very aware of my sin. I don't see how any pastor can be. I have pride. I have fears. I am a people pleaser. I could go on and on about the sins that assault me as I preach the Word of God. And the only way that I have been able to stay in the ministry, administering the sacraments and preaching and counseling, is to remember something that Calvin points out in the Institutes and other places, where he says that if God willed, God could have spoken to us directly. And if God willed, God could have sent us angels. But it pleased God to send us sinful men like ourselves. And he says, sinful men, it's humbling for us as a congregation to eat out of the hand of a sinful man. And that's what people in a congregation do when they sit under the preaching of a minister. He has feet of clay. He's a sinful man. The Apostle Paul was a sinful man. At the end of his life, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And Calvin says that it's good for us to sit under sinful men because it humbles us and it builds unity in the congregation that all of them together feed from the hand, and he uses the word, of an inferior, someone who is worse than they are. Now, I don't mean to say no to the stipulations and the qualifications of a pastor and an elder, you know, that he must not be greedy, he must not be a scandal in the community, et cetera, et cetera. But it's very helpful to read Calvin saying this when you think about marriage and when you think about fathers and children, because the fact is, every single husband and every single father is a sinner. There is nobody who submits to an authority in the world today who does not submit to a sinner. No one. And so I remember I was preaching a couple of months ago, and after the sermon, I had been talking about the importance of fathers not exasperating their children, right? Because that's a command of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And a young mother came up to me who had young children afterwards, and as she left the church, and I, by the way, I think it's extremely important that we greet as many of our people as possible every Sunday. You would not believe how productive those few seconds in the door of the church are. And so I want to get a shout out to the importance of a shepherd being familiar week after week after week with his sheep as they leave church. Anyhow, she walked by me with, you know, probably 50-100 people behind her. She said to me, you know, my husband did it, and should I talk to him about that? And I said, of course you should talk to him about that. How on earth can you be a helpmate if you don't help your husband? And so that's just helping him. And what I think the particular thing she was talking about was that her husband was always negative and censorious to his children, okay? And so we have weak men as husbands and fathers, and it doesn't honor God for us to deny that because of some twisted notion of what submission is. But if you watch movies about the military, you'll notice as the movie goes on, at some point, a subordinate will say to a superior officer, permission to speak, or permission to speak, sir, or help me, guys. What is it typically?
It's permission to speak freely.
Yeah, permission to speak freely. And what that is that's deference to your father, your husband, and yet helping him. Let me give you an illustration, if I may. One day, I was up in my bedroom working at my desk, and I heard my oldest son speak disrespectfully to his mother. And everybody will be happy to know that it was very unusual, right? You guys happy to hear that?
Yes.
Yeah, it never happens.
And so my ears perked up, and I was downstairs and in his face in seconds. It infuriated me to hear his voice to his mother. Now, do either of you know what I'm going to say next? As I went downstairs, all of a sudden, I became aware, self-aware, and I realized, come on, say it. It would be good for you to say it instead of me saying it.
Yeah, you set the example. And
my goodness. Don't you have any respect for me? Why are you having me on the podcast if that's the kind of man you think I am? Yeah, you're exactly right. As I went down the stairs in full dudgeon, it hit me like a sledgehammer that the reason my son had just talked to my wife that way was that he had heard me speak disrespectfully to my wife. And so I looked at him and I said, Joseph, you are never, ever, ever to speak to your mother that way. Do you understand me? Well, that kind of confrontation was unusual in our home. And he was standing straight and looking at me with fear. And he said, yes. And then I said, now, Joseph, do you know why you spoke to your mother that way? And I think he said no. And I said, well, let me tell you, you spoke to your mother that way because you've heard me do it. And Joseph, I want you to know, it is never appropriate for me to speak to your mother that way. That is sin. Do you understand me? Well, of course, he would have been relieved. And then I said to him, but Joseph, you must never speak that way to your mother. I tell parents sometimes that there are occasions where we should say to our children, do as I say and not as I do. Because it's a confession of sin on our part. And then I said to Joseph, now, Joseph, listen, you're old enough, because I think he was 15 or 16 at the time. I said, you're old enough to begin to confront me about that kind of sin. And so in the future, if you hear me speak to your mother that way, I want you to confront me about it. But to respect my authority, I don't want you to do it in the moment. I want you to let the moment pass. And when you find a time, take me privately and say, permission to speak. What was your phrase?
Freely.
Yeah, permission to speak freely, Dad. And I will say yes, and then you confront me. And I think that that's an important part of maintaining respect for the office of father and husband, and yet admitting that it's a sinner that holds the office. Does that make sense to you, Mom?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, Tim, if somebody didn't catch you the last time that you were on and they wanted to get a message to you or read something you've written, how could they do that?
Well, if they want to communicate to me, they can write me at my email address. I would much prefer email to DM on Facebook. That drives me crazy. I have so many things I have to keep track. And my email address is T, as in Timothy, B-B-A-Y-L-Y. It's weird spelling. T-B-B-A-Y-L-Y@gmail.com. And if they want to read a book on fatherhood that I really poured myself into and hope is helpful to men and women. As a matter of fact, I wrote it to men, and so I used illustrations that women will be scandalized by. But I actually think Christian mothers would be greatly helped and become more sympathetic to their husbands if they read it. It's called Daddy Tried, and it's on Amazon. It's also, if your husband doesn't like to read, audible.com on Amazon has a recorded. I read it, and it's there. And so go on Amazon, just look up Bailey, B-A-Y-L-Y, and the book is Daddy Tried or The Grace of Shame or Church Reformed.
Well, thanks again for coming on again, Tim. We appreciate it.
Well, Tony and Joseph, I'm very, very thankful for your work, and I like the opportunity of being with you, so thank you.
We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Pastor Tim Bailey from Trinity Reformed Church, and you are listening to The Patriarchy on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. We'll be right back. Every father knows failure. It comes with the territory. One generation to the next, imperfect men chip away at God's original design for daddies, leaving a flawed pattern for their sons to follow. Overwhelmed by their failures, it's easy for fathers to feel they have blown it for good and can't redeem themselves. In this book, Tim Bailey offers a frank and hope-filled path to overcoming the inherent failures of imperfect fathers, and to reclaiming manhood and dignity for the man called Daddy. Drawing from decades of his own journey as an imperfect son, father, and pastor, Bailey makes it clear there are no quick fixes. The road to recovery is paved with blood, sweat, and tears, but our Savior walked this path before us. Daddy Tried makes no apologies for being a book for men. Its subject is the male-only club of fatherhood. It takes the only perfect father as our guide. Bailey stares the sins of fathers past, present, and future squarely in the face and clears a path to overcoming them. A path that begins with faith in our Heavenly Father, who tells us He knows our weaknesses. Daddy Tried, Overcoming the Failures of Fatherhood by Pastor Tim Bailey. Available on Amazon.com.
One of the things that I think it's important for us to think about and talk about is the fact that, you know, God could have, He could have given us angels to preach the gospel. You know, John Calvin said that, but He gave sinful men, mm-hmm. and He could have given us angels for fathers. Instead, He gave us sinful men, even, you know, us that have the most godly of fathers still have fathers that make mistakes. And speaking us as fathers, man, I can't count the number of times that I have had to repent and even tell my children that I'm sorry. They've gotten on your nerves before, the kids do, and you
that never happens.
you say something that you don't you later regret, and yet God expects us to honor fathers, and as fathers we need to be honorable. You know, one of the things of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And the catechism in particular on the fifth commandment talks about the duties of superiors. And one of the duties of superiors, that is for fathers, is to not do anything that lowers their authority, that basically is not honorable. We have a duty to be honorable. And as we think of how we honor fathers, as fathers, we need to be honorable. And part of being honorable is being willing to apologize and repent, to not always have to be right, to go to our children and to say, you know, I blew it right there. Forgive me. Or and being willing to acknowledge that, to be able to do, as Tim was suggesting, letting our sons have a way to kind of come back to us at a different time and appeal the decision. So as fathers, we need to live honorably. And then as all of us are sons somewhere, we need to honor our fathers. And we live in such a time where people think that because fathers are sinful, we can dishonor them. We can dishonor fatherhood. And that is what feminism thrives on. It thrives on the fact that fathers have sinned. It doesn't mean that feminism only exists because fathers sin. You know, Eve in the garden had every single thing she could possibly want, and she still rebelled. For those who have fathers that are sinful and wicked and evil, the one thing that if I can drive home again is even you can honor your father by honoring God the Father and honoring fatherhood, so that you don't allow abuse or harm done to you to cause you to become a rebel, a revolutionary trying to overthrow created order. And that takes faith. That takes faith. The only way you can honor a father and mother really is by faith. That's why we have to honor them in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you know, this is an episode I've been excited to do, but not in a, because it's a happy subject way. I mean, you know we have people listening that have or have had legitimately bad, wicked fathers who have harmed them. And, you know, as a father myself, that breaks my heart. And as a man, it makes me mad because, you know, we're supposed to protect and not use our authority or our power like tyrants. But I know there are men out there that do that. And so for those of you that have legitimately bad, wicked fathers, my heart goes out to you. If you need somebody to talk to, you don't know where to turn at this point, maybe you're still under that father, you know you can reach out to us. You know, you could message us on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll get back to you the best we can. We'll try and steer you towards maybe local people to talk to. Your church would definitely be one of them. I mean, we're always going to suggest that. But don't feel like you have to hold it all inside, you know, that somebody's not going to understand. You know, I had a good dad. I have a good dad. We have a great relationship now, actually. I would say a better relationship than we've ever had before. And, you know, he and I can sit and have a cigar together and talk about life. But it doesn't mean that I don't understand what it's like to know or be under men that wield their authority like tyrants, because I do. You know, I've worked at places where that's been the norm, and it's not fun. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and ultimately, you need to look to your Heavenly Father for the example of fatherhood, because it's really easy when you're under a man who wields his authority in such a fashion as to always be to his benefit and to harm the people under him. It's easy to get jaded and bitter and to view all authority, all fatherhood through that lens. And we have to be real careful not to do that, because fatherhood comes from God, and male authority comes from God the Father. And we can't let other people who are sinful and wicked and malicious mar our understanding and our view of something that's perfect and good, because it'll mar our view of God ultimately, and we have to take great care to guard our hearts against that. So if you need to reach out, please do. We're not your pastors, but we are your brothers, and we'll do the best we can to help you out. So I hope this episode has helped some of you out there. I hope it's helped some of you out there that do have bad fathers understand better how to address it, how to not sin against God, but at the same time, rightly treat your father. And I hope it helps other people out there that don't have bad fathers understand what it's like to have a bad father, or how to respond to that. And ultimately, I hope it helps all of us men that are listening be better fathers, because we're not perfect dads. I mean, in essence, we really are all bad fathers. We may not all be malicious tyrants, but, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we have it in us to be that. So I do hope that this has helped those of you listening that are dads or might be one day to better understand fatherhood and the temptations to be a bad father, and to understand better how to raise our kids and treat them the right way, and in a way that ultimately will point them rightly towards God the Father. So if you're not yet a Fight Laugh Feast Club member, go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY to support this podcast and the other shows on this network. Until next time, if you have not yet bowed your knee to Christ, repent and believe. And if you have, this is our call to you. Build, fight, protect, lead. This is the Patriarchy.